John's gospel is unlike the other three in lots of ways. But it is similar to the other three in ways as well. This particular passage is told us in John. John wrote for one reason, and one reason only. John wrote this gospel not because no one else had. Mark was already in existence when John wrote his gospel. John wrote this gospel so that people would believe in Jesus. Chapter 20 says, "So you may come, this book was written, so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name." He wrote it not to create some doctrine, not to spit out a bunch of rules. He wrote it so that people would believe in Jesus. So whenever we read John, we have to look at it from that perspective. How can this passage of John make us believe, or make anyone believe in Jesus? You know, this particular passage has a wide history and interpretation. The Apostle Paul wasn't too keen on marriage, if you'll remember. The Apostle Paul said that it's better not to marry, but if you have to, it's better than burning in hell. Okay. Some of us have a higher view of marriage than that. And the church has argued for centuries that Jesus performing this particular miracle, the first one at a wedding, was Jesus' way of validating weddings, validating marriage. I think that's a good interpretation. I think it's solid. But we're not going to talk about it today. But there's another part that people use this passage, and it was used to encourage people that drinking of wine was okay. Throughout the centuries, people in the church have argued, should you be teetotaler, should you not? This particular passage said, hey, Jesus, turn the water into wine. We're not going to talk about that today either. But I want to talk about believing in him. The first half of the book of John is a story of seven signs or seven miracles. The second half of the book of John is about the last few days of Jesus' life in great detail. Seven unique signs or miracles that Jesus did, beginning with this one. One of the things that's really important to me about this particular miracle, it was hidden. It takes place behind the scenes. The big limelight is on the marriage, the bridegroom, the guests at the party. But the miracle takes place out back with just Jesus, his mother, his disciples, and a couple of servants. They're the only ones who saw this miracle. And the disciples believed. You know, we're a bit jaded today. We see magicians pull rabbits out of hats, make buildings appear to levitate, make the Statue of Liberty appear to apparently disappear in front of our eyes. We get jaded and thinking something like this, water into wine, is just a trick. It's just a thing that happened. And had it been done for a whole bunch of people in a big way, and yeah, that might have been seen as more of a trick or something a charlatan would do. But this was done quietly, not to impress. Jesus' mother says, there is no wine. She doesn't say, fix the problem. She doesn't say, Jesus, can you handle this? She makes an observation, and we don't know why, whether this was a relative of hers she was trying to protect from embarrassment because they hadn't prepared well enough for the wedding feast, whether it was just an observation of fact, there is no wine. Jesus comes back to her and says, well, what is that to you and to me? We don't have an answer to that question. There is no more part of that conversation between Jesus and his mother. If there was more, it's gone. It's not written in John's account. But there was something that was important. Something that was important to her and to him. Was it the community? Was it seeing the needs of somebody who maybe made a mistake? They didn't quite plan enough. You know, a lot of times we think, well, they should have planned better. Well, okay, it's still a problem. They're still there, and we don't know why. We don't know why Jesus did what he did. But he quietly, without causing embarrassment, he performed a miracle. He made the gift of water become wine, and not only wine, but better wine than had been served before. So not only did he protect the reputation of the family that was offering the feast, he gave them a better reputation because they broke with the crowd and served the best last. But all of that was done for one reason, according to John, and that's so that the disciples would believe in him. Believing is something that no one can make you do. I can't make you believe in something. I can demonstrate for you how I believe in something, but only you can believe. In a lot of ways, our faith is communally based. It's about the community of believers. But at one level, at one point, it boils down to, do you believe? Not what do you believe, not how do you believe, but do you believe? There's a movie came out in the late 90s with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey called Contact. And if you're, it's not a great movie, it's long, but it has a great point. In this movie, Jodie Foster lost both her parents at a young age and became enamored with the stars and astronomy. And she spent her life getting educated in all things astronomy and became world-renowned for someone who listened for messages from outer space, right? That some other life form is going to be contacting us. So not exactly the cutting edge of science, but for her, it was what is important. She was listening. So she would go to these places where they had big arrays of satellites and listen to see if anybody was ever sending a message. She meets a guy, Matthew McConaughey, who is a preacher. And she makes fun of him because he believes. And she says, you can only believe in that which you can touch, you can feel, you can verify, you can observe. From that, you can believe. And McConaughey says to her, or she says to him, prove to me that God exists. Prove to me so I can believe. And he said, you can't prove that God exists. I can tell you I believe in God. And he asked her this question. He said, did you love your parents? And she said, yes. And he said, prove it. Prove it. Well, there's a whole lot more to this 3-hour movie that goes on. And apparently she makes contact with aliens from another planet. She communicates with them, but only she is the one that hears it. She's the only one that hears their message of what it is the meaning of life and things to her. And when she's completed this process, she hears this, she goes back to the scientific community and tries to explain to them what the aliens have said to her. And no one believes her. Because they say, we can't verify it. We can't. We didn't observe it. For us, belief is not about what we can observe. It's not just about what we can know. It's not about a set of rules or a set of guidelines. It's believing in Jesus. Jesus looks, feels different to each and every one of us, but we all believe in Jesus. So as we go along as a community of faith, what we have to remember, like the disciples, Jesus wasn't specifying a set of rules, a set of precepts, that everything had to agree, that we all had to identify exactly down the line. But what we all needed to do was believe in Jesus. Because believing in Jesus opens the door for all kinds of new and exciting creation that God can do. Because God came not to condemn or destroy, but to bring life. And when we began to rigidly put into boxes and categories all the things of what it means to be a Christian, we began to limit the miracles that God can perform. So for us, it's about believing in Him. And I think that's what the miracle at Cana was all about. It didn't have anything to do with marriage is great or wine is good. It had to do with Jesus. Just Jesus. Because Jesus changed the world, beginning with that miracle and ending with rising from the dead on Easter Sunday. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.